I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of John, and we're going to be looking at chapter 12 to begin with, verses 1 to 9. And then I want to look at the same story in the Gospel of Mark 14, verses 1 to 10, because I want us to get the full impact of these two accounts of this beautiful, wonderful act of worship. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth about a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what he wanted. And Jesus replied, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. And then if you'd like to flick to the same passage, similar passage of Mark chapter 14. And go to verse 6. Again, Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. You will always have poor people with you. You can help them any time you want to, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body to prepare me to be buried. What I'm about to tell you is true. What she has done will be told anywhere. The good news is preached all over the world. It will be told in memory of her. Well, the first thing I'd like to ask you this morning, how did your vote go on Thursday? Now, we're not going to have a secret ballot. So did your candidate get in locally or nationally?
We're all blue, Ron.
You're all blue. Is that Chelsea, Tony? You're all blue. And I think visiting my mother-in-law in hospital yesterday, she was cutting out the promises what Prime Minister Cameron is proposed to make. Whether he keeps those or not, I don't know. But I want to just tell you this morning, if you have voted for the cross of Jesus Christ, you can be assured that he will keep his promises. Would anyone like to just share one or two promises which you're reminded from Scripture, what Jesus has promised us? Don't be shy. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hey, that was very quick. Well done. The Holy Spirit. Yeah. Any others? Yeah. Jesus said, I will never leave you. I'm with you to the end of the age. Any more?
Place in heaven.
Place in heaven. Yes. In my Father's mansion, there are many rooms. If there were not so, I would have told you so. And you can believe the promises of Jesus Christ. He will never let you down. And therefore, if you've not voted your life or given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do it, because he will never let you down. Now, one of the gifts which God has given us is the gift of smell. It enables us to smell those things which are very pleasant, and also those things which may be a little unpleasant to our noses. Now, some years ago, if you went down the M5 South and you were to go to Minehead for the spring harvest celebrations, hands up if you bring celebration, been to Minehead for spring harvest. Excellent. Good. Now, there was a town which had a reputation for a really bad odour. Does anyone know what place that was? Shout it out. Yeah, Bridgewater. Bridgewater was renowned for this foul odour. And if you went to spring harvest, you had to go to Minehead. You had to hold your nose, you sealed the car, the windows were closed, the vents were closed, because it was an obnoxious stink. Fortunately, it's now closed. It's been closed for some years, and I believe it was a cellophane factory, according to the internet. But you had to, it was very, very unpleasant. Our noses are also able to smell pleasant things. And my wife gave me a good telling off a few years ago when I took part in a Christmas production to do with the schools in Dagenham. And my job was to spray this young man with Dupe. You've all seen, yeah. It's very expensive because my wife bought me either for a birthday or Christmas present. And my part was to spray him gently. But usually I got carried away. And I caked this poor fella in Dupe. And I could see every spray going on. And my wife was going, "Oh!" Do you know that lad, he smelt for months after. He tries, share after share, but you can still smell the aroma of Dupe on his person. Perfume is a very big business. Who remembers High Karate? Anyone remember that? Now, what would it be claimed if you wore High Karate? Yes! It claimed if you put High Karate on, you'd have to fight the women off. I was going to say it hadn't worked for me, but I can't say that now, can I? And who remembers this? This is what I used to wear a lot. Remember Henry Cooper and Kevin Keegan and Barry Sheen? Brute 33. Splash it all over. Do you remember that one? That was quite a pleasant smell, actually. I think you can still buy it today. Everyone has a smell or an odour to them. Now, gents, I want you to be very brave. If you are sat next to a lady, I want you to put your noses no closer than 6 inches, unless she's your wife, and have a sniff to see if there's a beautiful perfume. Go on. All right, okay, that's it. Oh, look at this. Oh! There was contact over here. Contact. Now, gents, I want you to raise your arms. You know what's coming, don't you? Ali, go on then. You see, our story this morning is a beautiful story. It's the breaking of the alabaster jar. It's a simple story about a woman who, in the presence of Jesus, was so overwhelmed by the wonder of who he was and the thought of what he had done in her life, that she did for one time in her life that many thought was a foolish thing to do. And the incident took place while Jesus was on his last journey to Jerusalem. He had stopped over there for a few days in the little village of Bethany. And whilst he was there, he was invited to the house of Simon the leper for a dinner in his honour. Now, he obviously was a healed leper because he wouldn't actually be allowed to host a dinner party. I think it's so funny that Simon was now Simon the Cured, but in Scripture he was still referred to as Simon the Leper, even though he'd been cured. And some believe that he was a friend of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Others believe that he may have been their father. At any rate, John tells us that those three were present along with Jesus. Martha helping to serve the food, also in presence with the apostles and a few others who aren't actually named. But Mary is the one our story focuses on today. John tells us that she was the one who broke the precious alabaster jar and poured the perfume over Jesus. You see, oils and perfumes were widely used in the ancient world. Guests entering a house or a home would customarily be given water and a towel to wash their faces and hands and feet. But often there will be an oil to help their dry, parched skin from the sunlight. And many families will save for this expensive oil so that they could use it for these occasions. And of course, also, oil was used as a perfume for the burial of bodies. In those days, it was the custom to bury a loved one within a few hours rather than a few days or weeks, which we are familiar with. So Mary came into the room with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. The expensive perfume was probably made from a plant in India. And Mary broke it open and began to pour it on the head of Jesus. Now keep in mind, this is long before women's lib. It wasn't this woman's place to be where she was in that culture. Her place was in the kitchen. Her place would not be at the feet of Jesus where there's all the other men gathering around for a meeting. But she breaks with tradition. She took the alabaster jar of expensive perfume and broke it open. She poured it out until every drop was exhausted from the flask. And John adds that she not only poured it over his head, but also his feet as well. What was the reaction? What reaction would you take if you saw this happening today? We are told immediately after that there were some who began to criticize her. In the Gospel of Mark, it says, some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why waste this perfume? It could have been given to the poor. It could have been sold to the poor. It's worth a year's wages. And they rebuked her harshly. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. And you can help them at any time. But you will not always have me with you. And I love the words which Jesus says. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, and what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Now, I don't know whether you have personally experienced that kind of love. A fantastic surprise. It took you wow factor. Now, one of the most wonderful surprises that I received actually came from this church. In 1991, under the leadership of the Reverend Roger Short and a few others like Derek and I think David's at the back and Richard Cooper's here and the Parsons are here and a few more of you are here, it was your decision to enforce to send me off to Moreland Bible College to be trained up for ministry. And I remember going to see the bursar to pay my first year's fees. And he said, how can I help you, Roger? I said, well, I've come to pay my fees. And he said, you're Kendall Road Baptist Church, aren't you? I said, that's correct. He said, they've been paid in full. Yeah. In fact, they were paid for the whole 3 years that Leslie and I were there. Even when my car was stolen in Romania, a past church member gave me a free loan of a car until I got mine back. And I can say that I've been in full-time ministry now for 20 years or so, and I've never been financially better off than when I was at Moreland College. So I just want to say again, for those who remember, thank you so much for your blessings during that time. But another surprising act of love, we've got some teenagers. I can remember when I was a teenager. I know it's very, very hard, but I was a teenager once. Oh, you? Sorry?
I know.
You know, yeah. Married by 21, goodness me. Maybe those who've got teenage children. You walk into your teenager's bedroom, you expect a mess, a bomb has hit it. But when you go in, you find all the clothes and neatly put into bed. Sorry? I know. Everything's in place. And you think, oh my God, what have they done? And they just said, Mum, I did it because I love you. Is that ever happened? I know. Yeah. Do it! I'm making you look bad. And of course, gentlemen, do you only buy your wife flowers? Christmas time, anniversaries, Mother's Day, etc.? Or do you just buy them on impulse because you love her so much? Yes. You see, often is the case the flower you buy can reflect the love you have for your wife. Now take my tip, don't buy her snapdragons. You see, it's sad to say, but most people who follow Jesus came to him for selfish motives. Whether they thought about it or not, but they did. Sick people came hoping that he would heal them. Poor and hungry came to them that he would feed them. He had a reputation of showing compassion upon those who were despised by the rest of society. His disciples followed him because he talked about a new kingdom, and they wanted to be part of it. Religious leaders followed Jesus around because they wanted to trap him. You see, most of them were wanting something from him, not really because they loved him. You see, there is no record of anyone ever coming to Jesus and saying, Lord, I love you, except Peter after the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, hardly anyone ever bothered to come back and say, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. When was the last time you said to Jesus that you love him? You see, this lady, she found a way to express her love. This woman was so overwhelmed by the love of Jesus, she needed to find a way to express it. Now, there are some discussions who this Mary was. Most theologians believe it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that family. Some believe it could have been Mary Magdalene. Some believe it could have been a Mary and she was a prostitute, because the smell of perfume she would open as she walked the streets would attract the male sex. But I'm not really interested who Mary was, which one it was. I'm interested in her attitude and what she did for Jesus. You see, she gave Jesus her very best. Everything to show him how much she loved him. And the question for us today, are we giving our best to the Lord? Mary did not hold anything back. And sometimes we only want to give certain parts of our life to Jesus. There are some parts of life which we sort of keep him out, that we don't want him to be invade that part. When believers in Jesus let Christ into every part of their life, they will have a love and enthusiasm just like the Mary in our story today. I know the football season's coming to an end. Some of you ladies might say hooray. Some of you men might say hooray, depending on what team you follow. Every week, thousands of supporters fill the stadiums all over the country to cheer their teams on. Now, I've been a Spurs fan for 55 years. That's giving me age away. No, yeah, I know. It's amazing what Aircott Dye can do for you, right? Been through good times, bad times, but mostly bad times. And as I said, I wonder, Steve, what's it like? Steve Parsons, what's it like to be a Chelsea fan? Good at the moment. I've often wondered what it's like to be a Chelsea fan. But I remember going down to the high road on a Saturday. I had to walk a couple of miles to the ground, park my car a couple of miles from the ground, walk down to the ground, buy an expensive hot dog and drink for my son and myself, cheer on my team to the, my voice was hoarse. We'd often lose. Then I'd run back down the high road because if the game was on a Sunday, I'd have to get back to church at 6:30. And I had a wonderful time. I said to a friend, I hope Jesus doesn't come back before Tottenham win the Premier League. And he said, they'll never come back. He'll never come back. But if we were enthusiastic, as we are about other aspects of our life, whether it's the sporting or shopping for you ladies, I don't know what it is, the world would be transformed. It would be a different place if we were fired up with the love and the enthusiasm of this woman in this amazing story. She gave the best. She gave all that she could. Christ has given us everything. He laid down his life so you and I can receive that wonderful gift of eternal life. So what are those parts of your life which are keeping God out? Let him in. And secondly, not everyone was happy about what she did. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As a keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what he put in it. When this lady gave all that she had to Jesus, it was a wonderful demonstration of that love. Now, there was opposition. When you and I put Christ in our lives, you will find objections. When you put Christ in your life and you live by his standards, it will not please everyone. And I believe particularly at this time, in this particular era of our lives, Christianity is being squeezed. The air is being sucked out by it by those in power. You will find opposition. You may find opposition in the workplace. You may find opposition from people in your family who don't understand what you've done. Remember that Jesus didn't promise an easy life for his followers. He said that if we are to follow him, we must take up our cross on a daily basis. You see, the Christian principles that were once the foundation of this nation are being eroded away. Do we not believe that the Bible is the infallible word of God? Amen? You see, some churches are watering it down to please people rather than please God. Can't be that. We know that God has given us certain guidelines and rules. God's not a killjoy or a spoil sport. He's given them for our own good. So if you've given your life to Jesus, or you're going to give your life to Jesus, it's not going to please everybody. But you will please the most important person of all, and that is God. Thirdly, she expressed her love extravagantly. You see, to many, it was an extravagant and foolish act in the eyes who watched. But love is often extravagant, isn't it? You see, love does extravagant things. I'm sure that all of us can remember things we couldn't afford to give to the people we love. We sacrificed to purchase those treasured mementos. But you see, love does that. You see, love often does those things that appear to be foolish. You see, this woman could have poured just a little bit. A few drops over Jesus. But she chose to pour it all over, to empty it as an act of worship. No wonder that Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing to me. So
So she expressed her love in an extravagant way. Also, she did what she could. And then he followed up with these words, she did what she could. And when I stand before God, as each one of us at some point in the future, and when he opens the book of life and comes to my name, and he sees that all my sins have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ, I hope that Jesus will say to me, in front of his Heavenly Father, this is Roger Davis. He's mine. He did what he could. Many others did more. Some did less. But he took what we gave him and he did what he could. I can think of no other greater tribute than that. This woman didn't have much, but what she had, she gave to Jesus. Not to Simon the leper, not to Peter, not to James and John. She didn't do it for anyone else. But what she did it just for Jesus. And again, we need to challenge ourselves this morning afresh. What have we ever done for Jesus? How have we expressed our love for him? Are you doing what you can at KRBC? Where you've been called to worship. Are you yet waiting to enter the baptismal pool? Have you been thinking about that? Or maybe even becoming a church member? Are you part of a home group or involved in some active ministry in the church this morning? One of our brothers, Ian, made an appeal for a community day. I think it was in 4 weeks' time. Can you give that help in that situation? And God has given at least one gift to all believers. Are you aware of it? Do you know what it is? Are you using it? Are you praying regularly and feeding upon the Book of Life? This woman did what she could. Are you and I doing what we can for Jesus? Or do we tend to want to leave it to the others? Will you be welcomed into the kingdom by these beautiful words? Welcome, my good and faithful servant. And as we draw to a close in a few moments' time, what kind of fragrance are you giving off? I don't mean Dupe or Brute 33 or Kai Karate or Charlie Number One, whatever it is. What fragrance are you giving off? You see, in our scripture this morning, it says that Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You see, earlier I said that perfume is expensive. It's big, big business. And when Leslie and I used to live in London, we often used to venture to Harrods. Anyone been to Harrods? Did you buy anything? We used to go down to Harrods to see the Christmas displays. It was our last stop after shopping in Regent Street and places like that. And I remember going there as our last stop before catching the tube back to Charing Cross. And I've never felt so embarrassed in all my life. As I gazed around, there are all these very affluent people, well-dressed, like the people who just put their hands up, I suppose. And there was me in my jeans with a Primark bag. And as you're about to enter the perfume section, you can see all these staff. Hordes of them waiting to get you. Waiting to spray you. And you sort of look and you're planning your pathway. You're not going to get bothered. And you evade them. And you think, yes, I've got through without being squirted with perfume on. Only to find out that the next section is another perfume. And you give in.
You accept the fact they're going to spray you with all kinds of perfume, and then you hold your Primark bag up because they think, well, you can't afford our perfume, so they leave you alone. You see, those of us who wear perfume from time to time, that fragrance which it gives off, which your friends can smell, it will wear out. The aroma would disappear eventually. It starts to fade and wear off. Not only does it happen to perfume, but if we're not careful, it can happen in our Christian lives. We can become complacent. And I think it was Ali who said today, never come to church expecting what you're going to get out of it, but rather what you can put into it. If we fail to have regular Bible study, prayer life, worship, praise, etc., etc., fellowship, eventually the aroma, the fragrance of Jesus will begin to wear off in our lives. Are you and I giving off the aroma of God into people's lives? Are we displaying the fragrance of Jesus? Are we showing the love and compassion to others that Jesus did? Are we being a light in the darkness? Are we bringing flavor and seasoning of Jesus into conversations? And finally, understand the fragrance of God. What is the fragrance of God? Well, Ephesians sums it up well in chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice of God. If we're to be the fragrance of God in this world, we are to be imitators for Jesus, to be followers of Jesus and live our lives to his example. And when people look at our lives, there should be something about our lives that hits them literally in the face. Something that may ask figuratively, what's that smell? And our answer should be, it's the fragrance of God. Like Mary, when we give all we can to Jesus through worship, gathering together, prayer, Bible study, etc., etc., then if all of these things are intact in our lives, therefore putting Christ first, I am certain that you and I will give off the aroma of Jesus to others, which is pleasant, pleasing, and perfect. When we don't give all to God, like Mary did, then the aroma of Christ will begin to wear off. Let me leave you with this question. May the fragrance of Jesus fill your life and therefore touch the lives of others. What kind of fragrance are you giving off? Not just here on a Sunday morning, but when you're out in the schools, in the colleges, in the universities, in the playgrounds, in the workplace, in your social service, your social activities, I pray that we will give off the fragrance of Jesus in all aspects of our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this story, this an amazing story of what Mary did to your son Jesus. And Father, I pray that each one of us would be we give off the fragrance of Jesus, that not only would it fill our lives, but it would fill this church, that it would filter out into community, into our families and our friends, so others will actually come to know about you. Father, we thank you for Mary. May she be an example that she was willing to give everything to you, as I pray that we would too, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.